Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it has been slain, standing in the center of the throne. Now, if our Lord just being slain, just slain, of course it referred his crucifixion. So if our Lord was just newly slain, that means now you see our Lord just ascend to heaven. And then encircled by the four living creatures and elder, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So we know that when the seven spirits sent to all the earth, that referred to the day of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit being poured down. And then according to book of Acts, how our Lord Jesus received the Holy Spirit from the Father and being poured down. At the same time, he also received the title deeds of the universe. That's that book. And then later you see the praises, not only surrounding the throne, also you can hear all the wonderful praises, voice of praises in the whole universe. So now we are pretty sure, now we know that when our Jesus was anointed as the King and the Christ, and no doubt, we know that the day of Pentecost actually marked the inauguration of that kingdom of heaven. So if this happened, so that's still during the reign of Roman Empire. So Jesus was born under the rule of Roman Empire. Now when you talk about the world, it is represented by Roman Empire, but actually it's more than that, because it is the Romans who conquered the world, but it is the culture of Greek conquered the Roman Empire. So that's why when you talk about culture, when you talk about religion, now Roman did not have its own. He derived everything from Greek. He took over all the gods in the Greek world. And for that reason, when we talk about the world, now you cannot just talk about Roman Empire, you also talk about Greek Empire. So that's why when our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, you found three languages to describe how he is the King of the Jews. So Hebrew represent the world of religion, and then Greek represent the world of the cultures, and then here you find Latin represent the world of the politics and the military. So that really tells us how this world crucified our Lord. But at the same time, when he's lifted up, he will draw all men to him. So now the gospel is going out to conquer the whole world. Now, so you see, that's how everything began. Now you can understand. You can understand why in Daniel 7 we have been given such a wonderful picture, actually, that refer to the inauguration of kingdom of heaven. That means the fifth kingdom. But that kingdom is very different. It's no longer bestowed in nature, no. In the kingdom of the man, you find from Roman Empire all the way, and from Babylonian Empire all the way to Roman Empire. Not because man has fallen. So even when mankind build up their empire, then you can see that in the eyes of the captives, in the eyes of Daniel, you see, he no longer saw the splendor of gold, silver, and so on and so forth. All he saw is that cruel nature. It is bestial nature in that kingdom. But thank the Lord, after four kingdoms, then there will appear the fifth one. Now in this kingdom, now brothers and sisters, now you can see that it is ruled by Son of Man. So now you see, anyone who live in that kingdom, they were like every normal human. So because of a wonderful work of redemption, now when we are under the rule of the kingdom of heaven, it's completely different. Now heaven really rule, because our city is in heaven. So I think this part is very important. And also something very interesting, if you read chapter 7 of Daniel, Daniel was looking for the interpretation. Now how, looking for the interpretation, what are the four beasts? So if you read the whole chapter, now these four beasts, on the one hand, it referred to the four kings, and also refers to the four kingdoms which they represent. So now, what does that mean? That means Jesus Christ ought to wait until the fourth king appear on this earth. So now you are able to know when Jesus should be born on this earth. So now, I already mentioned last night, now these four kings' names are all spelled out in the Bible. First, Nebuchadnezzar, then Cyrus, then Alexander the Great. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, remember the name of the fourth king or fourth beast, Caesar Augustus. Definitely, he can represent the whole Roman Empire because of him. Now, Roman Empire could enjoy 200 years of peace. And because of that, gospel is able to reach everywhere. You see? And because of that, now Romans really built the Roman highway. You will find many highways just lead to Rome. So that's what happened. Now here you find the fourth beast. But after the fourth beast, after the fourth king, then we have the birth of the fifth king. So now if you read verse 11, today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. Now he's no longer Caesar the Lord. No, that's Roman Empire. Even Jesus was born under the rule of Roman Empire. But don't forget, you see brothers, and our Lord was born as a king. Now Christ the Lord. So now you can understand that this actually is a real true emperor. It is the fifth emperor of the fifth kingdom. That refers to the kingdom of heaven. Now brothers, when it was inauguration of that kingdom, the day of Pentecost. So now you can understand that everything starts from Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem has fallen. Jerusalem has fallen into the enemy. That's why they say, crucify him, crucify him. But then Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock. Then, what happened? The gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? When Christ built his church, he always built his church in the enemy's territory. So because it's in the enemy territory, now the moment the church is being built, then the moment the gate of Hades opens, they will swallow everything. The power of darkness will come out, you know, try to do its work. But thank the Lord, the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. So remember, brothers and sisters, 120 people gather in the upper room. And thank the Lord, because that was the day of inauguration. That's the third day of the kingdom of heaven. And then you find that these 120 saints, they were born again. They were all born from above. So they have the life from above. Their cities is in heaven. Now why they are in Jerusalem? Because they become the paratroopers. They become spiritual paratroopers. You see? So now they got a beachhead. And gradually, in the beginning, only 120. Then you have 3,120. Then you see that settlement begin to increase. So finally, you have the colony of heaven on earth. In the Bible, it is called the church in Jerusalem. So, brother, sister, now you can understand. Now, that's why if we turn to Luke chapter 1. There you find God has a program. You see? Now, kingdom of heaven is much bigger than Paul. It's much bigger than the church at Philippi. So, Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, brothers and sisters, because now, why you're waiting in Jerusalem? You're waiting for the power from on high. Why you need the power from on high? Because for the gospel to preach from the Jerusalem all the way to the end of the earth, brothers and sisters, you need a power. You need that power not only make you roll on the ground. No, that's too small a power. Too limited a power. But you need a power. Why? Because now God, the kingdom of heaven, not only start in Jerusalem, but on Jerusalem as a center. Then the expansion. Then finally, the end of this earth. So you see, brothers and sisters, before the Lord send out the Holy Spirit, not for our own enjoyment. Because here, remember, on earth you have Roman Empire, you have Greek Empire, but in heaven, somehow heaven began. Somehow, you see, in the most dark place in this world, Jerusalem, they say, crucify him, crucify him. Now, brothers and sisters, somehow you see that now 120 people being baptized into one body, and now they were born from above, they all came down from the heaven, they feed upon the heavenly food, they follow the heavenly rule. So, brothers and look at these 120, look at these 3,120, look at the 800, 300, what do they tell you? What do you say? They see the heaven on earth. So what is this? This is the fifth kingdom. That's why, brothers and sisters, the Lord not only sent to heaven, and now he poured out the Holy Spirit. So that inauguration of the kingdom of heaven. Right in the midst of the kingdom of the empire of Roman Empire and Greek Empire. So then Holy Spirit just follow this program. You see? Then, now in the beginning, it start with Jerusalem. But then you need someone to take the gospel from Jerusalem to the Greek world and also to the Roman world. Then by this way, the gospel really conquered, really reached the whole world. So that's wonderful. That's a wonderful program. So brothers, now when you look back, and then you see how Paul was converted. How Paul was caught on the way to Damascus, and he complete changed. Now he's really indeed a vessel in the hand of the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. Now he has a first missionary journey. He has a second missionary journey. All he wants is that since church has been established, now we have to strengthen them. Think about it. That's very natural. If the children are born, now you have to feed them. No doubt. So Paul feels the responsibility should go back and take care of them. So after that, the work should be finished. But now, actually something more in the heart of the Lord. So I already mentioned, actually Paul was able to preach gospel in Ephesus. What's wrong with it? If you preach the gospel there, you won't bring people to Christ. And then he almost reached Russia. If he really continue in the direction of Black Sea, what's wrong with it? If the gospel being preached in Russia, if suppose the gospel first landed in Russia, what's wrong with it? Nothing wrong, as long as gospel is preached, as long as Christ is preached, whether it's a pretension or with out of love. So what? As long as Christ is being preached, that's wonderful. So why are you so worried about whether that's God's will or not to go to Ephesus or go to Russia? Definitely must be from the Lord. As long as you are doing the work of the gospel, everything is right. Everywhere is right. Right? But that's not so. You see, Paul learned a lesson. He had to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Somehow Holy Spirit cornered him to the way. Finally, he has no way to go. He has to be in Troas. Now, when he was really in the place where God wanted him to be, then the revelation comes. Then the confirmation comes. Then he knows what is the will of God. So, brother, sister, now when he looked back, he knows that. Why? No Ephesus. Yes, later Ephesus. Not in the second journey. We have the Lord's time. And of course, no more Russia, but somehow the God has his mind. Why? Only by this way, Paul was being cornered to the cradle of Greek Empire and also the birthplace of Roman Empire. Starting from there, brothers, sisters, now you see gospel being preached. But what is gospel? Gospel only tell you justification by faith. Gospel only tell you that no longer a sinner, but a righteous man before God. No, much more than that. You see, gospel much deeper than that. Because when you teach of the gospel, not only tell people it is all by grace, you no longer go to hell, you will enjoy the heaven. That's the gospel we try to preach. But now, brother, sister, after 10 years, these people in Philippi, this church in Philippi, they should know much better. If you preach the gospel, now gospel is not on the gospel of grace, it's the gospel of kingdom. If it is gospel kingdom, if the gospel kingdom, what does that mean? That means that gospel is with depth. That gospel is with width. That gospel is with height. So, brothers, sisters, now when we come to this wonderful letter, now we begin to appreciate, you know, how the kingdom of heaven been expanded. Not only in Philippi, in the beginning only the seed of the gospel. But now Paul said, now on the day, then Paul talk about seed, he talk about fruits of righteousness. So brother, sister, do you see that? After 10 years, not just a seed. You cannot just tell people, yes, Jesus loves you. Now when you preach the gospel, as long as you believe in Jesus, you are saved. So as if we simplify the whole thing. As if now the gospel is just gospel. We do not know that behind the gospel is the kingdom. So I think that's very important. Now because of that, now we are able to appreciate this letter. You see, if we start from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, with that background in our mind, you see, now Paul wrote from Roman prison, from metropolitan Rome, to the colony of Rome, Philippi. And now this reminds us, today, no matter where we are going, we are bringing the colony of heaven with us. And then when you have colony here, colony there. And then when you put all things together, now when Jesus came back and when his feet upon the Mount of Olives, now that's our Normandy D-Day. You remember the story of France? When France was fallen, and then of course you remember the story because the Normandy landing make whole things different. Now Normandy landing is a landsliding victory for sure. Now that landing marked history, let alone changed the world. But before that, now the night before, now they already sent the paratroopers to land it behind the beach. And then, you know, then some of them, they really catch this beachhead and another beachhead. So on that day, D-Day, remember, now you find that not only army from the sea, also army from the back. Now thank the Lord, today the world has been fallen. But thank God, here you find the colony of heaven. There you find colony of heaven. So we are waiting for the D-Day. And Paul, how does Paul call the D-Day? He called it the Day of Christ. That's our D-Day. Now, brothers and sisters, today we suffer. Today we suffer persecution. Today the church grow in a growing pain. Yes, but thank the Lord. Now the day shall come. And when the Day of Christ comes, when that day dawns, Now that shall be the final victory. Then the world will become the world. The kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of Christ and the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, remember, we already in the kingdom, but we are still waiting for the day dawn. Why? Because today we live that heavenly life every place, everywhere, as either as individual like a Paul or corporate like the church in Philippi. But no matter what, brothers and sisters, now that not only the seed of the kingdom and also the fruit of the kingdom, when that expansion, not only how wide is the territory, is how deep is the territory. Brothers and sisters, Roman Empire or Greek Empire, at the most, they only can conquer the surface of the planet. They can never conquer the human hearts. They can become slave to the Romans, but you can never rule their heart. But brothers and sisters, remember, when our king conquer us, when the kingdom of heaven being further, remember one thing, it's much deeper. Not just superficial thing, no, not just the surface of the planet, not at all. It's much, much deeper. Now, what things can make things deeper? Only the seed. Only the life can penetrate into deeper and deeper, then it will bring out the fruit. So, with this in mind, brother, sister, now you can see that as if the whole letter is different. You see, with that kind of view, we have to be sure, brother, sister, it's starting from metropolitan area, Rome, and right to the saints in the colony of Rome. And then, if you try to translate that into Paul's language, now the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Very interesting. The Bible didn't say the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi and bishop and deacons. No. You can see that now definitely the weight is upon the saints. Why? Because these are the paratroopers. You see, now that's why now our city is in heaven. Even they still belong to the colony of Rome. Every Roman citizen was so proud of themselves. But brothers and sisters, we are citizens from heaven. We are also proud of our position. We are so honored. Because of that, we have to live accordingly. We cannot do something just, you see, brothers and sisters, we cannot just lose our temper like that. We cannot just do everything according to our will. No, be careful, brothers and sisters, because we are ambassador to Christ. So now, you know that we no longer the same. So I think if we, now let's turn to the letter. Now you begin to appreciate. That's really beautiful there. So starting from the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bound servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, have you noticed that Paul did not remind the church in Philippi he was an apostle? In other letters, now Paul always, especially to church in Corinth, because they misunderstood him. They despised his apostleship. So at that time, Paul had to present himself as someone being sent by Christ, the apostle. But here, Paul never used his official title. No, he was an apostle, no doubt about that. But when he wrote this letter, not as apostle, no. He's a Paul and Timothy, bound servants of Christ Jesus. Now in Greek, better, Christ Jesus. You know, now Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ has some difference. Now Christ Jesus, almost 87 times in his letter. Now Jesus Christ, 78 in his letter. Now I don't want to go to detail. Now to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishop and deacons. So brothers and sisters, this is the colony of heaven in Philippi. You see? And then Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you come to the Roman Empire, you always talk about the power. You talk about, always talk about the dominion. Yes, we still talk about power and dominion. But the source of power and dominion is from two ingredients, grace and peace. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here you have the fatherhood of God. You also have of lordship of Christ. Now why lordship, brothers and sisters? Because no longer Lord Caesar. Now it is Lord Jesus. So the jailer, Roman jailer, he was 100% Roman. When he got saved, what he can do to be saved? Believe in Lord Jesus, not Lord Caesar. What a change. Thank the Lord. So then, starting from verse 3. Now, from verse 3 to verse 11, now Paul tried to review the history. So this passages really tell us the story about 10 years. From the seed to the fruit. Think about it. And now the church in Philippi is a mature one. It's a mature church. So look how the Paul addressed to this church. You see, it's very different from the First Thessalonian. Now, when First Thessalonian, when that letter being given, you know, now the church in Thessalonica, almost a newborn baby. So Paul wrote to them like a father, like a mother. So that's most wonderful letter. But now it's different. Now, the same letter, but this time is no longer to the newborn baby. It to a mature ones. Now, they are good, but not good enough. They are excellent, but they're almost perfect. But somehow, something, just a little bit more. Now, Paul addressed to them, you can be much better. You see? So, it is in that kind of spirit. It is in that kind of tone. And then, let's see what kind of history behind Paul and Philippi. Now, we already know the story. In the beginning, Paul never imagined. Now, in Philippi, even you don't have a synagogue. Thank the Lord for that. Now, you are able to build really from something, from scratch. And no synagogue, no Jewish structure. Everything so natural. It's a river, by the side of the river. And then he met few women, few ladies there. So the church really start from there. And now you see, now they all become paratroopers, landed in that part of the world. So he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Now Paul was very careful for you all. So now, with Paul has no partiality. He did not play favoritism. No. You see, that's a problem. Because it's somehow in this church, they have grown up, yes, but somehow you find that something really grieved the saints there. And you find two sisters who do not share the same mind. They must be all spiritual. They must be all matured. That's why someone said, I'm mature enough. So that's why I cannot be hurt. You know, if I ought to be respected. But then, sometimes, somehow, the Lord arranged an arrangement. And then, something happened. So, some grievances. So, then these two sisters is at variance. So, that's what, then, now you know that, if you read this letter, somehow you know that everything was so beautiful, everything was so perfect. But somehow, in this wonderful cake, you find some fly there. So, Paul want to deal with that fly. You want to deal with that fly. If somehow you can take away that fly, everything should become so beautiful. So remember, brothers and sisters, when Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he no longer just planted a seed. That seed already grown into the fruit. That's important. Now something very interesting. If you study the book of Acts starting from the birth of the church, It ended with the maturity of the church. So how long it would take? 33 years. You see? 33 years. Then you can see how Paul was grown. He was advanced his Christian life from the infanthood to adolescent, finally to adulthood. So 11 years. So normally, you know, when you see, when you roughly, you know, for when the Lord plant the seed, and then you really grow. So normally, if you take Peter Paul as example, 33 years, no doubt about that. And that's why I watch many always said that. If you want to be used by the Lord, at least you should prepare 20 years. Don't tell me you already graduated from seminary. Don't tell me you already have a wonderful history in the Lord. No, if the Lord wants to use you, at least 20 years. So sometimes I just wonder how Watchmeni got that number. Then when I studied the life of Paul, my eyes were open. Oh, I remember. You see, now God really spent 20 years before God can use Paul. No doubt about that. So take time, brothers and sisters. If you want to grow, it takes time, at least 30 years, at least 33 years for us to grown up. So that's roughly the idea. The same thing applies to the church. Why do we know? Because from the first chapter to the last chapter of Book of Acts, 33 years. So in that book, now Church of Christ is the way of righteous. So it's like a day dawn. The light in the morning is very soft, but gradually the light will shine until the noonday. It become the brightest. But Bible never talk about sunset. So if you talk about Christian life, church life, never talk about sunset, because when you see that the curve of growth, it always from the birth all the way to maturity. So how long it took? 33 years. But to our surprise, now among these many churches, and church in Philippi, not only was his firstborn in Europe, not only that. So of course, this church must be very dear to Paul. But to his surprise, only 10 years. In the beginning, you only see the seed, but now you see the fruit. So now you know that the church in Philippi is as mature as the church in Ephesus, is as mature as the church in Colossae. So my brother, sister, now you understand that, and now Paul is able to pour out his heart to give them something, not just very shallow. No, remember when our Lord was on earth, when he talked to the disciple, he said, now some word is too heavy for you, to be young you. So what does that mean? That means the word of God may be so heavy it may crush your life. You see, that's a possibility. You cannot bear, you cannot take it. It takes the life of the mature life of Christ to receive the word. So think about it. If the church in Ephesus and also in Colossae, they have received the highest revelation in the Bible, that means somehow, brothers and sisters, now that word is not too heavy for them. So you know that the church in Ephesus, church at Colossae, definitely they were mature enough. The same thing applied to Philippians. And in this book, Paul really pour his heart to them. Now, when someone pour his heart to you, then you know him. You see, brother, sister. Now, that's been very important. Now, yes, sometimes we have fellowship. But remember, that fellowship is basic. Our fellowship is based on our life. So no matter whom you should have fellowship, no matter what, either he is not as spiritual as you are, you have to have fellowship with him. Why? Because you share the same life. Our life is the basis of our fellowship. But our light, our degree of life, is a measurement of the depth of our fellowship. You may have a fellowship with one brother or one sister, but brothers, remember, You may have a very good, you may be a good friend. He invites you to have a meal. You also do the same. Now, brothers, it's not because the more you eat, the more you open your heart, the more you become talkative, the more you disclose your secret. Everybody know your secret. You see what I mean? That's the fellowship. After fellowship, people know your secret. Now, my brother, sister, important thing is, you will never tell everything to everybody. So that's why you see, a successful mother is this. You should be able to have wonderful fellowship when your daughter is very young. Then she will never keep any secret from you out of love. So brother, sister, if somehow she did not tell you something, it means what? It means somehow the depth of our fellowship already no longer there. You see, brother, that's a failure. Now you know I fail as a mother. Do you see that? Now you know that even I tried to bring my children, but brothers and sisters, remember that fellowship is not there. But now when you come to the important time, then you say you should do this, you should do not that, you should be friend with him and you should not do that. Now it won't work that way. It never worked that way. So now important thing, brothers and sisters, what is a fellowship? Share fellowship means that you open your heart. So the depth of fellowship, now it will result in the more or deeper fellowship than the more he opened his heart. Now, brothers and sisters, how do we know the secret of Paul's experience? How do we know his secret of his growth? Now, brothers and sisters, Paul never rarely opened his heart to anybody. He had to watch and see whether someone is able to fellowship. So, brothers and sisters, now you can see the fellowship between Paul and the Philippi, the church in Philippi, almost one. So nothing can hinder their fellowship. So, brothers and sisters, here you not only see a little bit, 50% of Paul, here you see the 100% of Paul. So that's why we are able to appreciate, we are able to learn the deepest Christian experience. So talk about the depth. Don't, no doubt, brothers and sisters, definitely is from this wonderful letter. And then the church in Philippi is able to receive this letter. This means that they are deep enough. You see? So very interesting. From verse 3 to verse 11, you can see that how intimate is that fellowship. And because that intimacy, now, just like our Lord, our God said, now, because I'm friend of Abraham, should I keep that from him? You see, here is a secret. Should I keep this secret from Abraham? So the same thing, brothers, sisters, and Paul and the church in Philippi was such that from the very beginning, they are one. For the very beginning, they are the participants in something. They work in the same work. They in the same program, in the same project. What project is that? Kingdom project. No doubt about that. Okay. So I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, make requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship. Or your participation into the gospel from the first day until now. For what first day? Paul still remember the first day on the bank of that river. And only small group of ladies. Then Paul began everything from the first day and until now. Now you see, these brothers, sisters, they involve is one common project. They want to further the gospel. They want to conquer the world the Roman and Greek has conquered. So brothers, that's why the beginning from Philippi. Even they were in the colony of Rome, even this is the Roman colony, but they know that they belong to heaven. So not only that, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, so who began the work? It is he. God. How he began the work? He cornered Paul, not going to Ephesus, nor going to Russia. And then he ended up in Troas. So, brother, sister, remember, he who has begun a good work in you, not only Philippi, also of course in Paul, you see, in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that 10 years ago, that was only the beginning. That's only seed. Now Paul wants to see the fruit. In the beginning, you only see the how big is the territory. If you just measure the how big the territory of Roman and Greek Empire is, now as if now gospel being preached to these places, now that's enough. No. That's not deep enough. That's just like the world empire. Now only the life should be able to penetrate into the earth. That's why in this letter talk of the word of life. You see? Now the word of life reminds us of the tree of life. And when you study the book of Romans, letter of Romans, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, there we were talking about the word of cross. Why the word of cross? Because we have sin. Why the word of cross? Because we are under dominion of our flesh. So that's why, brother, sister, we need the salvation. We need the salvation of soul to bring us back to not only to have a position in that before God and also bear the fruit of sanctification. So, brother, sister, by this way, now we know that we are now that's how we begin our life. But thank the Lord. Now you can see that actually He is the one who began a good work in you. In you will complete it. The Lord will bring to the fruit. Not only the beginning, not only initial salvation. We have to grow. We have to press on. We have to work out our salvation. We have to lay hold of the word of life. Why? Because when you come to the tree of life, it's something further, something deeper. Think about it. You're already holy enough. You're already righteous enough. Is not that enough? No. Much more. We are not only justified by faith, we are not only sanctified by faith, we also should be glorified by faith. So, brothers and sisters, now that's really the completion of the work. You see? So, we'll complete it until the day, the end of your journey on this earth. No, Bible didn't say that. When you have a plan on this, when you have a project, think about any project on this earth. Now, of course, you have the beginning of the project, the day, and of course the end day. Now, sometimes our project is lifelong project. So when should be the end? When we reach the end of our journey on this earth. So that's very, you see, that's very normal. But think about brothers and sisters. Now, for the Philippi, they begin in time. They begin 10 years ago. But then, when Jesus Christ is going to finish the work? Only when they disappear from this planet? Only when they lie in the tomb, that's the end of the work? No. Remember, this project is begin with our lifetime. It end with the day of Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, the day of Jesus Christ is our D-Day. So remember, brothers and sisters, on that day, there will be a final victory. So thank the Lord. You see, here, immediately we are reminded of the day of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? When our Lord ascended to heaven, He was made Christ. He was anointed as Christ. From that day, already the day of Christ. But now if we wait until the day of Jesus Christ, we know that our Lord will come back again. So the kingdom of heaven is starting from the first coming of the Lord to the second coming of the Lord. So brother, sister, today, why we're still on earth? Because we have D-Day in front of us. We have the day of Jesus Christ in front of us. So everything ought to be measured under the light of judgment seat. One day we will be in Bema. One day we will be in judgment seat. Now, brothers, sisters, we all grow. The seed all have been planted. But the Lord will ask, where is the fruit? So my brothers, sisters, thank the Lord. You can preach the gospel, that's all. You can get people saved, that's all. Now, during the last year, probably you may have 100 or 200 people to Christ. Then, in this way, I think, now if the church really grows that way, then we cannot accommodate there anymore. Then why still 300, 400 people? Very simple. Some people come, some people go. So, brothers, we will never be satisfied if you only plant a seed. Yes, if you plant a seed, if you conquer the world where the Roman and the Greek conquer, thank the Lord, we should win the world to Christ. But that all, you have planted a seed, should be deep enough. You're not only so, brother, sister, by this way, all those who are just baptized, all those who are just newly saved, their heart should be won by Christ. So that's what happened, you see. So when Paul reviewed history, thank the Lord for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And remember, in the last 10 years, this means God actually, he began a good work, first in Paul, then in the church in Philippi. But God is going to complete until the day of Jesus Christ. So when we will reach the full maturity, perfection, the day of Jesus Christ. So on that day, we should be like him. So brothers, sisters, now you understand. When you talk of maturity, you have a goal. Now you have to set a goal there. And when? And that goal is the day of Jesus Christ. And verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Now Paul was very careful, you all. And you see, because he know that some problem happened in the church of Philippi. Some people think probably Paul was in favor of this group of people, or this brother, or that sister. No, not at all. So you see, you all are partakers with me of grace. So in another words, brothers, sisters, remember that Paul and the church in Philippi, they not only have a wonderful fellowship, but actually they are partakers of one thing. Now first, about the gospel, about the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, also the chains. So brothers, if the gospel is going to be further, remember, not only just the confirmation, not only defense of the gospel, that's all important. That's all important. We have to learn that art. We have to learn the technique. But remember, in order for the gospel to preach wonderfully, now here not only one ingredient, you have two ingredients. And in as much both in my chain and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of me of grace. By grace, we are all partakers. So you see, brother, sister, now you have both ends here. One in the colony of Rome. Another one in metropolitan Rome. But either Paul or his converts or the saints, they share the same thing. They're involved with the same project. That project is called Kingdom Project. Very, very, very clear here. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, this word is very tender. This does not look like Paul. Paul is very masculine. Paul never sentimental, you see. But now when Paul becomes sentimental, he's indeed, you know, somehow his tenderest part in his life, you know, being touched. So he used the word, the affection of Jesus Christ. Actually, in Greek, is bower, the heart of Jesus Christ. First, he talk about what? He talk about, I have you. Now, just it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. But now, why in my heart? Because I long for you all with the heart of Jesus. So, the heart of Paul is a wonderful union with the heart of Jesus Christ. So remember, brothers, this is not something natural. This is not something out of natural affection. No. That's deep. That's really deep fellowship. That love is deep love. Now, Paul can become so feminine. Paul can become so soft, become so tender. Remember, that's something deep. You see? Not natural feeling. No. We know Paul. We know Paul very well. If you study 1st, 2nd Corinthians, you know that Paul. That's Paul. You know, that's really, really a man, so manly. But here you see a different Paul. Why? Because he has a one with the heart of Jesus Christ. So our Lord was so soft, and now Paul can help become so soft. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Think about it. Starting from his love to the people, starting from his heart and the heart of Jesus Christ. Of course, let's talk about love, right? I long for you. That's love. But now he prayed for the saints in Philippi. He said, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. Not enough. I know your love. The love in Christ should be more and more. But remember, more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Now, love is not something touch our emotion. If that love is natural love, that's not agape. If agape love not only touch our emotion, definitely touch our emotion, but the important thing is that touch our mind. A love with principle. So, brother, sister, the saints in Philippi, they want to preach the gospel. They want to win people to Christ. They must be full of love. Their heart was so tender. Thank the Lord for that. But remember, they have to learn, have a deeper love. Something more. They already have love. They already have mature love. But something more. Always something more. It's always something better. Now, and with all knowledge and all discernment. So, brother, sister, sometimes when you look at some brother, sister, yes, he's full of love. Yes, he loved this one, he loved that one. He opened his house for this one and that one. But remember, sometimes the love without knowledge and without all discernment, it end up with disaster. Sometimes we have to learn a bitter lesson for us to learn that lesson. So remember, brothers and sisters. Now, as a Christian, we should love, but we are not goody-goody. Now, we love with principle. We love with some very important principle. And then, not only that, that you may approve the things that are excellent. You see? So Paul really pray for the church in Philippi. They really can grow. They really can grow to the point that now they are approved the things that are excellent. Now, in Greek, it means the things that differ. Now, brother, sister, sooner or later you will know that the heavenly things is very different from the earthly things. You think you already have love, but that's only earthly love. You have to know. You have to prove what the things that are excellent. So this language is always the kingdom language. Do you see that? The Lord said to the disciples, now you see, unless your righteousness surpass that of Pharisees and the scribes, never enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, brother, sister, you need to have a righteousness which surpass the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes. So something excellent, not just B is enough. Some people are satisfied with B. They never aim at A. They think only nerd aim for that A. But for other people, let's enjoy our life B. Of course, they don't want F. No doubt about that. So you see, brother, sister, now when you just have a grade a little bit above F, some people are already happy enough. Anyway, we are going to graduate. Now, that's today. Every people got saved just like that. As long as can get to heaven, that's enough. That's not something excellent. That's something different. So for that reason, our Lord said to his disciples, now, if you greet your brother, now, Now, isn't that true? The pagan also do the same thing. Now, you have to do something more. Now, did you do anything more than they? So remember, when we talk of the kingdom, always something more. You're already good enough. You're already wonderful enough, but always something more. Always something more. So if you have that kind, if you have that understanding, you are able to understand why Paul said, we press on. Why Paul said, work out your salvation. It always something to do with our responsibility. Why? But the reason we take up our responsibility is because we have been enriched with the grace. The unsearchable grace. The grace so rich enough, there's no excuse for you not to take your responsibility. So, brothers and sisters, for that reason, Paul is talking to the mature ones. Not talking about the baby in Christ. You see, if you talk about babe in Christ, no doubt you talk about grace, talk about many other things, as long as you now. But here now, here Paul talk about maturity, growing unto maturity. So you can see Paul used the word like this. And that may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Brothers, sisters, what a high mark. What is the high standard here that we ought to reach? Because the day of Christ, it means that's the standard. When we today we grow until that day. Now, if we are really grow until that day, now you see that now the kingdom not only conquer us superficially. Kingdom really has its root in the very deep in our hearts. So Bible said, the Lord said, and Paul said, till the day of Christ. So brother, sister, Paul, he knew the history of the saints in Philippi. Now he talk about their future. When you talk about our future, talk about tomorrow, we talk about day of Christ. So again, here Paul talk about the kingdom of heavens. Inaugurated in the day of Pentecost. Then the gospel starting, gospel kingdom starting from Jerusalem. Then Philippi, then Rome. So, by this way, you see, now, kingdom of heaven not only widened, expanded, also deepened. So, that's why this letter is the most, as far as experience of Christ is concerned, is the deepest. No doubt about that. See? Alright, now, after these verses, then we come to verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, things which happened to me, it related to the imprisonment of Paul in Rome. Now, in order to understand this, let me just try to trace back a little bit. You have to understand, the psychology, the experience of Paul. You know, if you only read this portion, you probably won't be able to enter into the feeling of Paul. Now think about it. I already mentioned that. Paul has a 3 missionary journey. In the last mission journey, he was in Ephesus. So the Lord really opened the door. It's really widely open for Paul. So at that time, he made the decision. He said, I want to go to Rome. Now the reason he wanted to go to Rome, because he remembered the program, the project of Kingdom of Heaven. Starting from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, all the way to the end of the earth. Yes, he was very successful in Ephesus, no doubt about that. But somehow he's not satisfied. He's good enough, but not that good. So for that reason, then what he do? Now he decided to go to Rome. And then he wrote the letter to Romans. So let's turn to chapter 1 of Romans. Verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So Paul definitely wants to go to Rome. See? But now, verse 10. in my prayers all at all time, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, I might have a prosperous journey to come to you. You see? Now, Paul, in order to go to Rome, he prayed a lot. He prayed at all times. So what was his prayer? His prayer is that he prayed that at last, by God's will, I might have a prosperous journey to come to you. Not only come to you, but I will come to you, actually, I might have a prosperous journey. You see, everything is rosy. Everything is wonderful. You see, so So Paul not only want to go to Rome, he want to pray that the Lord may grant him a prosperous journey. Not only safe journey, actually prosperous journey. All right, let's turn to 15. Romans chapter 15. Now verse 31. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saint there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy. Not only prosperous journey, I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. That's prayer of Paul. Now why you want to go to Rome? Verse 23. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions. Now remember, before Paul, there was another one who said almost the same thing. That was Alexander the Great. When Alexander the Great, after he conquered his world at that time, he wept in the tent. Then his general asked him, why you wept? He said, I wept because from now on, there will be no more world to be conquered. So, remember, aside from Alexander the Great, now Paul almost said the same thing, now that there is no more place for me to work in this region, so I have to press on. You see, brothers, he has to go to Rome. So he prayed a prayer that by God's will, he really wants God's will. He remembered how in the beginning he was being led to the colony of Rome, Philippi. He remembered very well. He learned a wonderful lesson to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now he learned another lesson. This time he's not going to the colony of Rome. He's going to Roman Empire. He's going to the Rome proper. He's going to metropolitan Rome. He wants to bring the gospel because he wants to have the witness. He wants to enter into the heartland of the Roman Empire. Think about it. That's his ambition. That's his desire. He did not pray for anything for himself. He wanted everything for the kingdom of God. So this is such a noble prayer. Today, you know, if we want to go to Rome, we want to have sightseeing. According to statistic, for Americans, aside from their own home, the best place in the world is Rome. So today we want to see Rome because we want to have sightseeing. Paul, no. Now Paul want to go there because he know that kingdom project is from kingdom all the way to the end of the earth. When you come to Rome, you already come to the end of the earth. So by this way, now the will of God may be fulfilled. So he wants the God's will. Now that's very clear, right? But unfortunately, God did not answer his prayer. At the same time, God also answered his prayer. God answered his prayer. Finally, he arrived at Rome. Thank the Lord for that. God remembered his ambition for the Lord. God remembered that he has only one passion. That is, everything should be for Christ. Now, God really honored that. So finally, Paul ended up in Rome. But unfortunately, God did not answer his prayer. He wanted a prosperous journey. He ended up with a journey in sorrow, in chain. And not only that, he said, I may come to you with joy. No, I come to you with sorrow. So, brothers, sisters, think about it. At that time, Paul was most useful. After 20 years of training, look at his hands. Somehow God should use that both of the hands to win people to Christ. We need this kind of hand. We need 100 of this kind of hand. It takes 20 years for God to produce such a pair of hands. But brothers, while Paul was in the prime of his Christian life, all of a sudden, his hand was in prison. Somehow, brothers, he lost his freedom. So, brothers, sisters, he was under house arrest. He suffers from time to time, brothers, he cannot do anything what he wants. If you want to preach the gospel, at least you should give Paul the free hand. But somehow, heaven thought a different way. Brothers, sisters, we think we need to give Paul all the free hand. Then the gospel will be preached. But somehow, his hand was with chain. Paul couldn't understand it. Remember, Paul just like you and me. Like some person who is alive, who is going running here and there. All of a sudden, he was put in a wheelchair. He couldn't take it. No wonder when the people first in a wheelchair, you can see that his temper must be very quick. You see, he has no patience anymore. Because think about it. His world is supposed to be here and there, everywhere. But all of a sudden, limited to that small space. Small in prison. You see? So, brothers, sisters, of course, many saints in Philippi, they will ask why. They understand. 10 years ago, when Paul was in the prison. Now, there's a reason for that. Because now not only the house of Lydia, you also house of a jailer. So now you see one house. Then you really had household salvation by one house, one family after another family. So because of that prison, and then finally, eventually, jailer got saved, and then you can imagine the church is born that way. But now what happened now? And everybody know, and they know that now Paul prayed. Paul did not do anything without praying. He did pray. But when he prayed, he really prayed according to God's will. Because God's will is that gospel should preach to Rome. Yes, God let him go in there. But on the other hand, God did not answer his prayer. He did not go to Rome with joy, but with sorrow. He did not go to Rome in a prosperous journey. How do you call a journey with chain a prosperous one? Impossible. So, brothers, sisters, now you see that. On the one hand, you understand God's will because God said yes. But sometimes you are confused because God said no. Especially, God said no, not according to your selfish will. If you have your own plan, yes, alright, God said no. But no, you are doing something for God. Somehow God has approved that, and actually according to His program, everything should be okay. But brothers, remember, God say no. So on the one hand say yes, on the other hand say no. So brothers, sisters, thank the Lord. For what purpose? That's why, that's the background of when we read this passage, starting from verse 12 all the way to verse 18. Now you know that Paul was in prison. Probably after 2 years. Most likely after 1 or 2 years. Nothing happened. So in the beginning, Paul must be very upset. Paul must be very depressed. Sometimes we think probably, you know, Paul never has a moment of depression. That's wrong. We think those spiritual person never has a moment of depression. Elijah was the one. Think about it. And when he was persecuted, remember in the beginning he was so victorious. You know, he has defeated 450 false prophets. He must be in a very high place. But then after the persecution, he wants to die. That's depression. So that's why God wanted him to come out from the cave. Because the more you are in the cave, the more you depressed. The more you sink into yourself. So you have to come out. When you come out, there you see the earthquake, the fire, and the fire. But God is not there. But then after that, you will hear the still small voice. That is a cure for depression. Why? Because God reminds Elijah. Elijah saw that I'm the only one. I'm the only one, the overcomer on earth. That's why he was depressed. But thank the Lord. Now what God tried to teach him, there are 7,000 never yield to Babel. You are not the only one. So now Elijah being reduced to 1 in 7,000. Think about it. He's getting smaller and smaller. That's proper proportion. So you see, brother, sometimes you got depressed because you're too big. Now you need to listen to the still small voice. Thank the Lord. Now, remember, there are so many overcomers just like you. So don't think that we never depressed. Never. Even Watchman Nee, you know, he complained to his wife. He said, during the prison, he said, I think the brothers sisters did not pray for me enough. I think he feel that way. That's true, because think that anyway, Watchman Nee must be overcomer. You see, so what does he need? He of course doesn't need anything. But think about it. Many times Paul make the request to the saints, to the church everywhere, pray for him. So brothers and sisters, remember, Paul has a moment of depression. But thank God. Somehow, when we study the book letter to Ephesians, we learn the secret. Somehow, brothers and sisters, while he was very depressed, there are two powers really rescue him from himself. So he talked about the power of resurrection and the power of ascension. Power of resurrection make us die no more. But power of ascension means it will take you from earth to heaven. So, brothers and sisters, now this is something Paul has learned. He all of a sudden discovered formerly he was nothing but a worm, ugly worm. But now actually, in the process of growing, now sometimes he was so imprisoned. But then, if that life is like a butterfly, so that imprisonment is only but for a moment. And that but life of butterfly is a life of ascension. So that life will transform Paul. And then he was able to fly in the sky. For that reason, he said, we are being seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's the way how Paul was being rescued out of his depression. That's one thing. That's Ephesians. But when you come to Philippians, something even more. Somehow the Lord interpret everything to Paul. So gradually, brother, sister, he come to the knowledge. He come to the light. Then he want to report to Philippi. Now don't worry for me. Don't shed the tears for me. Now there is a wonderful reason behind my chain. Without that chain, the gospel is not able to be further. Now you think that if I can stand before the emperor, you think if I can stand before the crowd, I will make 3,000, 5,000 people God say. No, God has his better way. Even when I was put in the prison, even when I was under house arrest, but thank God, gradually, Paul, through his experience, he realized that the wisdom of God. How? If we read verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that things which happened to me, means his imprisonment, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, he used the word turned out, very interesting. That's a surprise not only to Paul, and now he wants all these people in Philippi also be surprised. Because why? It turns out, in the beginning we thought that the end of the gospel. Think about it. When Paul was put in prison, now the enemy definitely will cheer up wonderfully from now on. If we just put them in prison, and not only put them in prison, even those in the colony of Rome in Philippi, they also suffer. They also suffer there. So actually, they were in the both ends here. You see, but now Paul gives a very good report. That's remember, after he had a wonderful fellowship, now he really opened his heart. So starting from verse 12, he opened his heart. He wanted to tell the saints in Philippi his discovery. Wow! He must have discovered something very, very important. So he said, it turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it become evident. Think about it. Something become evident. In the beginning, everything was so vague. As if that's the end of the world. As if the end of his work. End of his ministry. But no. Gradually you see some light. You see the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You see the wisdom of God. You see the will of God. It all behind the things. Now became evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Now very interesting. Even Paul was with chain. But then it became evident to what? To the whole palace guard. Now who are these palace guard? These are the cream of the bodyguard of Roman Emperor. So, a Roman emperor, they have many armies. But the best army is palace guard. Why? Because with the palace guard, then you see the emperor was able to be very safe. Because that's why you always get the best one. And where these people come from? Most of the bodyguard, most of the people, soldiers of palace guard is from a place called Dalmatia. It's a place called Heraclium. Now, brothers and sisters, what is that place? That is today's Albania. Think about it. And those people, they live in a mountain. They are very rough, but they are very tall. So that's why when you draft these Roman soldiers, now the best Roman soldier, the best fighters, think about it, don't forget, the best Roman fighters is not from other place, is from Albania, is from Dalmatia. Do you see that? So very so but Paul has been in Dalmatia. Paul has preached God, has been in that area. Now think about it, because they were really best fighter, and because they were best fighter, finally they produced Roman emperors. Think about it. Now the soldier can become emperors, all because they are very good fighters. So finally you see many good, I won't tell you the detail, but many emperors really from there, really from that area. So think about it. Now this palace guard is supposed to protect the emperor. Now, because of them, then you know that not only the emperor is saved, and so the heartland of Roman Empire should be saved. But why evident to the whole palace guard? Because just from this palace guard, now some soldier in rotating. Now, and Paul, when Paul was chained, of course that chain, definitely one is his hand, another end of the chain is soldier. So every 8 hours, so every 6 hours, probably 4 turns per day. But anyway, within 6 hours, 8 hours, one soldier. Within 6 hours, 8 hours, another soldier. So brothers, in the beginning, when Paul think about the chain, that's the limit. That chain definitely will never do anything good about furtherance of the gospel. Now Paul, that's represents the end of Paul. But thank God. Gradually he discovered that chain is not alone by himself. That chain is a connect to other end. And the other end is the members of the palace guard. Brothers, you are in prison. Is there any way for you to penetrate into the heartland of Roman Empire? Now think about it. You had to penetrate into palace. But there's no way. But what is the best way to reach their heart? Gradually his eyes open. That chain is the way of communication. That chain is a secret chain that will penetrate into the heartland of Roman Empire. So brothers and sisters, that's really God's way is always higher than our way. So in the beginning, he was very depressed probably. If Paul wanted to preach the gospel, he need 2,000 audience. He need 100, 200, just like us. When we preach the gospel, if we see only 20 people, no. But if 200 or 2,000, immediately your blood is boiled. It's different, my brother, sister. That's our human nature. But think about it. After preached the gospel to many places, after almost, remember, he almost traveled half of the equator, whole Asia Minor and half of Europe. Think about it. He went everywhere for Christ. So, but then what happened now? Now when we come